Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Today, I'm speaking with Executive Director Todd Lippa, who has been working tirelessly with CARES of Farmington Hills to help provide services for many people in our community. And today we're going to be speaking about the entirety of the program at CARES of Farmington Hills, but most especially the program that is the large fundraiser called the Grateful Plateful. So welcome to the show, Todd.
Thank you very much, Elaine.
So can you tell me a little bit? I know I've had the pleasure of having you on the show before, and I'm grateful to say you're a dear friend of mine. And can you give the listening audience a little bit of a background about CARES, and then we'll get into the Grateful Plateful?
I'd be happy to. So CARES is a nonprofit here in Farmington Hills, serving 9 communities that all touch Farmington Hills in Farmington. So we service both Oakland County and Wayne County. CARES began in July of 2017 as a place where we could feed families that needed extra support. And we became a food pantry, serving now close to and over 500 families each month. So we're building this campus of hope. We hope to have a one-stop shop in the days to come, and a campus that will have a number of entities on it to make sure that we can lift people up whenever needed. And we are in the midst of changing our operation because of a couple of great grants that came through. We also have a grocery store right on our campus that anyone can come and shop at. Neighbors around us can come and get their things that they need, just like anyone else in any grocery store you shop at. So we're happy to have both the market and the pantry both in the same building.
Wonderful. So just to clarify, since we do have a listening audience all over the country, actually all over the world, so Farmington Hills is in Michigan, which is in the United States. And Todd, can you tell me from your own experiences and how this entire project came to be, how has CARES of Farmington Hills and how has it grown? And so that we can get into the understanding of why you want to create a campus of hope and how you see that changing the future of how people receive the help that they need.
Well, here at Farmington Hills, back in the early part of 2014, I knew that as a youth director at the time in Farmington Hills, we knew that this pantry, which was a former church of St. Alexander's, was feeding about 100 to 130 families each month. And it just was something that when we heard this church was closing, a number of us got concerned that where would families go in our area that needed food? And with that, we started to pull together a group of folks who then went and made a bid to buy the former St. Alexander's Church. And luckily, that took a few years. But in July of 17, we were lucky enough to acquire the property. We still have a very large debt of $500,000 on this property. And we are hoping and praying every day that some donor will come along and make it possible for us not to have that worry on our backs. And then that will give us the opportunity to put on a new grocery store on our property. It'll allow us to build a health clinic on the property so that folks can not only be fed, but also stay healthy at the same time. We're looking to put a gym on our property, which will give people year-round opportunities to exercise and stay healthy. We're looking at a walking trail of a quarter mile on our 7.5 open acres, redoing our ball diamond so that it can be accessible to everyone, no matter if you have a challenge or if you can walk or run. We want to make sure that this entire 10.5 acre campus sitting in the southeast corner of Farmington Hills, Michigan, is available and open to everyone. We're always trying to see and figure out how can we lift someone up at a time when they need a little bit of extra support. Some folks will come in and out of that need. Others will need it much longer, but we hope here at CARES, with the leadership of a community, with the leadership of other communities, with great people living in all of the communities we serve, and businesses that support what we're doing, we hope and pray that we're going to be lucky enough to really build this campus of hope and give people every opportunity they can to not have to struggle one more time, or at least take some of their struggles off their shoulders and lighten their load a little bit. So that's our goal,
so Chad,
and that's our hope. And
so, Todd, thank you for that, because I think that what is so important for people to understand, and since you had been involved in a city organization for so long, you really clearly had the experience and the visual and the knowledge of some of the struggles that people were having in general. And you said that this was a former church property. So what makes it unique in the fact that it is what it is? What do you find that is unique about this particular property?
Well, this piece, is 10.5 gorgeous acres. It runs, the boundaries are Shiawassee and Inkster Road from two side streets. But this 10.5 acres has a what would be like a creek that runs through the middle of it. That's a dry creek, except when rain comes or that type of season happens. The 7.5 open acres we have gives us an opportunity to give it a park-like setting. We have an opportunity where the church formerly had their reflection garden is to create a whole brand new reflection garden where people can come and just have a peaceful moment if they need that, or a chance to sit and meet with friends, and a chance for us here at CARES to be able to, invite people in for concerts or invite people in for craft shows or bring people here to host a wedding, whatever might need, that family might need, we hope to have here on this campus. What's so unique about it is this property has something very special, which I wish I could describe. I wish I could make people understand. But walk on this campus, walk on these buildings, and you just feel something totally different. The former church was a perfect setup for what we needed to do by splitting what used to be the sanctuary area in half and making a grocery store called Bush's Cares Market where any of us can shop. The other half is a learning center where we can put on programs and meet with partners and do some really interesting and educational things. The other side, which used to be the gathering center or the social hall, that has been totally turned into a brand new grocery store. And we're done with the renovation here in December. We're going to open our doors after 2 years of doing what we have not liked to do but had to do. Drive-through distribution. We're going to open back up to be able to let our guests shop, which that's over 500 families, be able to shop throughout the month, come in and get what they need for their families to be able to take home to hopefully get them just a little bit of support in their food bills. And, our pantry will look just like a grocery store to give people the dignity that they deserve. Just because we could be running on hard times doesn't mean that we still don't deserve to be dignified and understanding that, we could all be there in just a matter of a minute. And we learned that once again in March of 2020. And we have learned that over the past, that life can change pretty rapidly and we better be ready to make those changes. And I'm just glad that we can have the support here in a place like this that CARES to be able to support families. And this is a very unique opportunity for a pantry, a health clinic, a gym, a walking path, a ball diamond, a reflection garden, with two buildings that sit here one houses, a couple great businesses that are partners of ours or nonprofits, and they help to seek and help people with their health needs, and also an office for us and a lower level that can be used for all kinds of different meetings. And then the second building on our property, Colette's Place, that's a former nunnery, as some people call it, or the former convent. And that is housing just an amazing group of folks with four AA programs now going on in their Naranon program, along with this coming year in 2022, we hope to have an Al-Anon program. So those extra supports that people need when they want to change their life or they want to continue to have the life that they've chosen to be better, our doors are open to anywhere from 15 to 30 people on a given day on one of the four nights coming in and, you know, just working together with each other to make life a little bit better. And in January, maybe February to March, sometime in there, we hope to open the main floor of that convent, which will become our navigation center, where we'll have trained social workers, people who are trained on My Bridges, that will be able to lift people up even more by coming in, talking with them, finding what resources might be available that they know nothing about, to help them get to a place in their life that might be easier than the day before. So that's going to be a great opportunity for us to use that building. The six bedrooms have been turned into office spaces, and those spaces will not only hold our navigation sites, but also partnering with WIC and the Oakland County Veterans Association, we're going to be able to have those offices available to those folks to use throughout the month. So we just continue to look at the needs, and we continue to say, how can we support? And we're pretty lucky we have this beautiful, beautiful campus to do that on. It's just a matter of finding those that can help us to build it, those that will come on and walk this journey with us to make this place the one-stop campus that people can rely on no matter where they come from.
Thank you for that beautiful description, Todd, because, and if you don't mind, I'd like to clarify a little bit so that people might not quite understand that in the past, and maybe you can explain this a little better, what was a typical food pantry like when people were in need of food assistance? How in the past, before CAROS came into existence, how was it generally received by an individual?
Every pantry is a little bit different, and you base what you're able to do. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to do anything. It depends a little bit on what you have as space. And as I traveled around from 2014 through 17, looking at different pantries, I was trying to think, what's the best and what could you do better and what can we do if we only had this space ourselves? And luckily, we have a large building. Luckily, we have the space to do the things that we do here. So prior to that, when this was a former church, and way back 35, 40 plus years, when they handed out food here, the best and most comfortable way to do that was to have people come in, fill out a form, because they can come once a month. The same kind of structure that we took over was people had to make an appointment. You can come once a month. You can get your food from here. But back then, you filled out a form, and volunteers graciously went back and filled your boxes or your bags and came out and gave it to you. You had some choices, but a lot of times it was whatever the pantry was lucky enough to get. And that's a great way to do it when you're confined by space. In our case, we were very blessed to start out with that same operation so we could learn it. And as we grew, we knew we had to make some changes. And some of the pantries that I was lucky enough to tour had self-serve pantries. And then we brought some people on board that had great experience in self-serve pantries. We had a great partner in Doug Bush and his expertise in running a grocery store. So we took all of that knowledge and formed it to come up with what we now have in most of 18 and most of 19 into 20 until the pandemic hit. People could literally walk in, grab a grocery cart, check in, go up and down the aisles, get what they're allotted to get by what the standards are for a number of people in your family. And they got to walk the aisles and pick up what they needed. And we found that by going from a box or bag type pantry where you just give people what they're allotted to letting them now shop for themselves, the number one thing was dignity. Now they didn't have to worry about someone giving them food. They just could pick what they wanted. So dignity was number one. The second biggest identifier in the change that we made was that we noticed people taking only what their diets or their family would choose to have. And just because you're a family that might be falling on hard times, like I was as a kid, sometimes I remember, you know, carrying the box out or seeing the box come home. And there was stuff in that box that there's no way that I liked. I didn't like dry milk. But if you have nothing more, dry milk is the best thing that you can have. Well, in my case, I just didn't like the box pantry. It brought back some memories that I didn't really like to have. But we made the change. And when we went to a self-serve pantry, not only did people take what they could like, but they also took what their diets would afford them to have. And an example of that is instead of giving you three cans of corn, because that's what we had in the back, we now could have cans of corn and peas and beans and other things on the shelf. And if your family doesn't like corn or your diet doesn't allow you to have it, you choose something different. And then in the case of what was the next identifier that we came across was how the affordable ability for us to buy better foods and get more food that people were taking because we tracked it. So we were able to really look into buying the things that were most important to the families that we serve. And that has been a big plus because it just is the right thing to do. And we're lucky enough to do that. There's nothing wrong with pantries that do it differently. They do it the way that works best for their group. And in our case, we were blessed to have the ability to go a different route and do things a little bit different. And we're very, very grateful and thankful that we have the opportunity to have a pantry like we have.
So what is unique about Keers in Farmington Hills is that there is this beautiful free food pantry, as you're mentioning, where people have the dignity of going up and down the aisles with a grocery cart and making their selection. But second to that is this unique opportunity that most places don't have, but because of Kira's examples, this is changing, to have what's referred to as a SNAP store, which is, you refer to as the market, which is the one that you're saying that anyone can come into and purchase whatever their household food that they might need that we have. And the unique part is that it helps then to buy more food for the free food pantry. Did I say that correctly?
Absolutely. When we first came up with the concept back in 2019, actually it was late 2018, we thought that since we had the space and we had the knowledge of some folks, we applied to the state of Michigan to have a license, to have a small, convenient grocery store on the property. It took about a year and a half from the time we applied to receive in April of 2020 our license with our identifier that we could now open this market. So right in April, we started to redo part of our building. And now we have this beautiful grocery store that is called Bush's Cares Market. And the reason for that is with absolutely no obligation at all, Doug Bush and his family helped us to buy all the equipment needed for the market He also helped us to get vendors who could supply the things that we have to buy, because everything in that market has to be purchased. And the beauty of it is, you and I and anyone listening to this radio show can come in and come over to the market and do their shopping. And if you are someone who has a bridge card or a SNAP card or whatever you might know that as, you can use that card and you get 10% off of everything you purchase. So, Lane, you said it perfectly. Every single cent that's made in that market goes right back into CARES Nonprofit Food Bank so that we can make sure that we can purchase the foods each and every month. It's our first step into being self-sufficient. But, you know, it's just it's a beautiful market. It's clean. Sharon Brandle, who is the operations director of that store, and our market director just does a fabulous job. And it's so clean. The number one thing we get all the time is how clean it is and how convenient it is just to run in and get those items that you need to go home and get you through the next couple of days. We are nowhere near a full grocery store, but we are definitely a good convenience store for those last minute items that you need or those things that you can just get you through the week. So please,
yeah,
if you're listening.
Yeah, and the thing that is so... Go ahead, please.
If you're close by and you live in the area, please stop in, check out our market, and become a friend of CARES in other ways also.
Yeah, and I think that what is so beautiful is you, because of the work that CARES has done, it set a precedent for other organizations to kind of follow suit and to come and look at what has been established at CARES and Farmington Hills, so that they can help to do similar things in their community. Can you talk about that, how that has kind of spawned a new way of other organizations being able to more fully assist whomever is in their community that is in need of food or any other social service?
Yeah, we're very proud to share this part of it. You know, whenever you build something, you hope that someone else will take that build and possibly use it if they're blessed enough to be able to. And that's what happened here. You know, I'm a person that if you're going to do something, I hope people steal it. I hope people copy it. I hope people want to do the same thing if they have the space to do it. And a group in Monroe, Michigan, whose services a lot of people, and it's a mission and it's a church entity, but they turn around and they came out here in the first part of 2021 and started looking at what we had done here, how we had taken the space and made it into a pantry, and turned around, and what they did was they went back to Monroe, Michigan, took a building that was available to them, and they built the second entry market in the state of Michigan. We were the first ones to do it. I hope we're by far not the only two that do it. I hope other pantries that can will take this opportunity and look at how it can help their pantry. It takes a little time and a little bit of energy, but the worth of having a market on your property in the same place that you have a free pantry has a bunch of advantages to it. One, as they're finding in Monroe also, is that people can come in and shop and get to understand the other side of what you do here in the pantry is to feed families that fall on hard times. You know, the market can support it, but you also have people coming in that learn about what you want to do in the greater scheme of helping each other. So we hope not only Monroe, Michigan has their own store down there, but we hope throughout the state of Michigan, pantries will take the opportunity to look at this and how can they help their families even more and help the families that surround them.
Thank you for that, Todd. And so can you tell us about this campaign that you have going on now to help to raise funding for the ongoing needs. But then second to that, we can talk further about the other big funding needs. But right now, let's talk about the Grateful Plateful campaign that's happening now.
Yeah, so every November, we do a push to our communities, to our families, to our businesses, to anyone locally or even outside of Michigan. If you feel that you can share, we have a campaign called the Grateful Plate Campaign. And what I believe is Thanksgiving time in the month of November, it is the best month of the year because it's really a time when we don't have to worry about what do we get for each other, what are we buying for each other, what's our obligation to take care of something, but the obligation that we all have, and it's a beautiful portion of what life is to be blessed at Thanksgiving time and blessed for what we have and grateful for everything that we can have in our lives. And sometimes you think that, you know, life has been tough, but there's still so many things to be grateful for. So we, back in 2018, started this campaign, and every November we ask folks to, if you're lucky enough to fill your plate by making a donation, help fill someone else's plate, help fill a family's plate, or a platter of food. So we have a number of ways people can give. We have a campaign that goes from $25 to feed a family for a week, all the way up to the amount that can feed a family for a year. And we're grateful for the partners that we have. We're grateful for the families that can take care of one family, or those families or those corporations that can take care of much, much more. But the Grateful Plateful campaign is going on this year. We're hoping that if you're listening to this show and you listen to it tomorrow, November 30th is Giving Tuesday. You can go onto our website and you can find ways to give on Tuesday. We have a big goal to raise at least $10,000 or more on Giving Tuesday, which is November 30th. So please take a look at it. Go onto our website at www.caresfh.org. Go on there, go to the donation page, see our campaign, see what we're doing, check out our yearly report on how many families we serve, and help Caris to continue to do that great work by filling someone else's plate if your plate is full already.
So, you know, that is so beautiful, and certainly November 30th is a big day nationwide. But what I think is so important, Todd, and I want to personally thank you for all you've always done for so many people your whole entire career, but to really spearhead this amazing organization. And everyone knows if you have anything to do with nonprofits, it's very difficult to try to find funding. It's difficult sometimes to ask for money, but that's what inherently a nonprofit must do. So it's not just feeding a family, but building a community. And what is the plans in the future for reaching out to the community members and the businesses and the organizations that have been so blessed to have their company, their small business, their major business in this area? And what is the goal to help them to see the need for seeing their commitment to the community in which they work and live and play?
Well, you know, I've always been one that has been, I don't want to call it begging for a dollar. I think I've always asked people to support things that people deserve to have, and helping those that may need a little extra support. In my years of working for the city, I started out with a grant from the state of Michigan to open up a very large after-school program. And I was blessed in my 26-year career to work with a staff that was amazing, to have people and students and a community that respected and just cared about others. And we have one of the largest after-school programs for middle school age kids in the entire country. In my tenure, we were able to welcome close to 17,000 kids through the door in just 25 years. The pandemic was a year that I'll never forget. We had to close our centers, and hopefully those centers will open soon under new leadership. And that whole entire 26 years, we were asking folks to always support. But in 2014, and when we were lucky enough to buy this property in 2017, which still has a lien to the folks who gave us the money to buy it, this, amongst all of the things that I have been blessed to be a part of, this truly is the biggest endeavor that I think I've ever undertaken. And I undertake that not alone, but with tremendous other leadership, a tremendous group of folks who volunteer and are part of our staff, because I'm smart enough to know that there is no way you could do something as big as this, or like we did with the youth program, without tremendous support and without partners who believe in what you're doing and a staff that cares as much as you, or maybe sometimes I think even more. But, you know, we have this beautiful 10.5 acres. It was a cost of $500,000 to us. We had a few donors that stepped up to help make that possible so that we didn't lose this property and we could save this property for not only the neighborhood surrounding it, but also for the many, many, many folks that would take advantage of being able to use the resources that we're going to be lucky enough to offer on this property. You know, and that $500,000 is what I carry with me on my shoulders. I know it's not my own personal responsibility, but I really believe that it's my responsibility to take and find the funding to cover the cost of that $500,000 project that we want to do. I think it'll help us to get to the next step when we can tell people, yes, there is no debt on this 10.5 acres that we own. And yes, come on board with us, partner with us, be part of what we see as a campus of hope. $500,000 sounds like a ton of money, but to some people, it's a check that they could write without even a blink. To others, it could be a check that I can give you a dollar, and that's the biggest donation they could make. And I refer to that because we have had that. We've had people that have come up to me and say, all I have is $2, but I want you to take this and use it to help CARES grow. You know, that $2 means just as much to me at times as the $100,000 check that we might get. But really what's going to be most important is when we can pay off this $500,000 debt, we can own the property outright, and we can tell people we are going to build the strongest, most powerful campus of hope in a suburban community that needs us to be supportive of families, and something that I hope and pray that others will take and utilize to do something in their own communities. It's really about that. It's about taking the opportunities that you are given and multiplying them to serve others. You know, as I've grown older and I've had the opportunity to say goodbye to folks and even preside over their funerals, I've learned one great lesson, is that life is truly short. And when we say goodbye to this life, the things that I've learned that are most important from families and others is the legacy that you leave behind, the pieces that you gather together to give to others. And really it is about how did we treat others and how can we treat others going forward? And I think that, you know, it's a matter of saying I was a part of something that was bigger than I could have ever dreamed of. And this 10.5 acres can be something that all of us can say we have built, we have given to those that need us, and it's going to be something I think, even though it sits in an affluent community like Farmington Hills, when we're feeding 500 families per month and we're hearing the stories of people needing extra support, it's the right place to do it because of the families that we have gathered here, not only to come to CARES, but more importantly, the families, individuals, and businesses that believe in what we're doing. So if you're listening to the show and you can afford to help us, please do. Please give me a call. Please come out and see our campus. Or more importantly, just take that opportunity to say you were a part of something that is going to be bigger than what we even can imagine, but we're going to support hundreds of families and hopefully thousands of families in the time that we're able to do that while we're here to be able to support. So please, if you're listening, I could use your help, and I don't usually say I, but I could use your help to say to those that want to be a part of our campus in the future that, yes, our property is paid for, and what we can do here is going to stay because we own this property.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you for all that you have done, you know, so open-heartedly and so many things done quietly with dignity and caring for many people. And I think that what is unique is that we have certainly seen since the onset of the pandemic what the need for organizations such as CARES and Farmington Hills and what the unique opportunity is to come together as community to support one another. And as you said, anything can happen at any time, as we have certainly seen, you know, with this global pandemic, of which, you know, a few years ago, we would have never fathomed that it would either ever happen. But what is so unique is the way that businesses and organizations are really coming together, perhaps in ways that they never have before. And to recognize that we are all human beings and we all can contribute in large ways or small ways, whatever, but they're all significant. And that the corporations in particular that do have a global reach and a community reach never really fully know what those dollars can do, because they're helping future generations that can contribute to what their company is doing. And I'm sure that you have seen countless ways in which people have come back to CARES or learned of CARES and say, gee, that place helped me in the past. And before I get too much further, Todd, what was the best way for people to reach out to you personally that you could share with the listening audience?
Well, thank you. I'm happy to share my contact information at any time. So first of all, my name is Todd, T-O-D-D. Last name is Lipa, L-I-P-A. My email is very simple. It's tlipa@caresfh.org. So C-A-R-E-S-F is in Frank, H is in Henry, .org. That's my email, and I don't care who calls me, what time they call, but my cell phone number is 248-231-8493. And if you want to be a part of CARES and you want to see us do great things, please give me a call, email me, reach out to us here at CARES, and we are so thankful for the partners that we have. You know, we talk about partners. We have partnered with Home Depot in the past. We've partnered with RCI Electrical. We have corporations that have given us entire lighting for our buildings and our parking lots. We have had a video television place called Paulson's Audiovisual give us the opportunity to put cameras throughout our building and our property. And who would have known that camera net has been on our campus now for a year and a half, but it saved the life of a person because we saw something happening in our parking lot that just didn't seem right. And sure enough, it wasn't. But being able to show the police department and some others, something was stopped that didn't need to, and luckily didn't have to escalate to a tragedy. But, you know, with our current grants from Lowe's, and our current grant from the Gannett Corporation. Those two grants are allowing us to totally remodel our entire pantry, and to be able to make changes to our operation that will be lasting on, and will give people even more dignity when they walk into our space and be able to utilize what we have here. So, yeah, every dollar is important. Every campaign we do, we feel is trying to touch another life so that we can support someone. But all of it has to be under the knowing and the knowledge that we own this property and we have no debt and we can go forward in making the Campus of Hope a reality and giving people a place where they can feel comfortable. If it's just coming and sitting on a bench in our reflection garden, playing a game of ball with their kids on the softball field, walking the walking path, going into the gym, getting help through our AA programs, or taking a class around healthy initiatives in our former rectory. Whatever that is that that family needs, we hope somehow to find a partner to be able to come together and build on helping people and being that resource to say, if we can do it and we can help you, we will. But we're also smart enough to know that we can't do each and every one of these projects as CARES. So we are reaching out to other nonprofits to say, come on board, be here, give us your information, let us know how we can send families to you or help you get your word out that we're doing things that make a difference. So I appreciate the opportunity. So again, you can email me at TLIPA@CARESFH.org or call my cell at 248-231-8493. We just look forward to being part of our family.
Yeah, you know, what is so extraordinary, as you had mentioned in the past, is walking the property. And we have had so many people just come and say, without us having said anything to them, and I say us because I'm blessed to be on the board, and I am blessed to have an office on that location, is that, you know, there's something palpable. There's something that is very heart-centered, and you feel the dignity and the compassion, and you have so graciously and eloquently spoken about the pastor who was the former pastor for the former church there, who literally did the right thing in caring for his parishioners. But and before that, we know that in Michigan, there's a huge history of Native American cultures here. So it's a culture of community that is so essential that we reestablish. And I love the fact that you have always called it a campus of hope. How did you come up with that idea of a campus of hope, Todd?
Well, you know, so as a young man, I was baptized in this church of St. Alexander's. I was taught through my catechism classes by, at that time, Jim Wright, who then became Father Jim Wright. And Jim, I remember hearing and listening to him talk. Sister Colette, who was on this property for 45 plus years, they all talked about this place being something very special. And they gathered a lot of people around them that made this very special. They found a way many, many, many years ago when I was a young man to know that the needs of people had to be first. And sometimes that need trumped everything that Jim thought about, and anything that had to be done, he found a way to do it. He was a man that cared more about the people, not only in his own church, but people that came to him in need. And he truly, truly, truly did what a good Catholic priest should do. And that was to care for the people more than anything else. Jim Wright cared for people. Sister Colette, she never closed her door. She was always open to taking care of families and finding out what they could use and how she could help them to do that. So the campus part of it was always sort of talked about. But even with that, as we started looking at the campus and we started seeing the vision unfolding, and we noticed that if we could find a partner to do the health clinic, which I know we will, there's those professionals out there that can do that. As we started bringing on another day resource, which goes out and feeds families on the streets 2 to 3 times a week, sometimes, you know, throughout the entire month and throughout the year. As we brought on a partner called Rebuilding Together Southeast Michigan, and they opened up offices to turn around and be able to fix anything from a leaky faucet to remodeling portions of your home if you qualify through them. And then to seeing 2 years ago, our AA programs just become a thing of an idea to a thing of, wow, look at this. Look how many people are coming on each and every night that we offer those programs. And the campus idea just kept growing and growing. And then the campus of hope just seemed the right place to call it, to where we care about people. Kindness, compassion, and caring are our three biggest things that we want to achieve. And how better than to do it on a 10.5-acre, beautiful piece of property that will allow us to be the campus of hope, so that when you come in, you may be hoping that you find a resource. Well, we hope we can have that resource available for you. So we feel very, very blessed and honored to be able to do this work. We have a team that cares so much for each other that they work tirelessly to support each other, not only here at the Campus of Hope, but also for those that come to us each and every week. We are very, very hopeful that we can do nothing but support families. So please just be a part of this. Be a part of something that when you walk away, you're going to say, wow, this past 18, 19 months has done nothing more than once again reminded us of, yeah, the times can be terrible. There can be a pandemic. People have unfortunately have lost their lives. But the thing that we all know is that for those of us that are still here and those of us that need support, we hope our Campus of Hope will support them. For those that live in our surrounding communities, for the service areas that we service, but one day our clinic and some other opportunities will support no matter where you live or come from. And we just believe that we're blessed to have this campus. We're blessed to have the hope that it can be what it needs to be for families. And the Campus of Hope is here to serve.
And, you know, what is so beautiful about what is happening every single day there is there's so much dignity. And it is so, you know, we've seen a great deal, unfortunately, of viciousness and division that we have to remember is man-made. And when we recognize that there are so many more good people than there are people that want to be divisive, that when we come together with that knowledge and understanding that so many things can happen literally magically, beautifully. You know, I remember you telling the story of a young man who came by who had been, his family had been parishioners there and had been very touched by that property. And there was a need for tree service to happen. And lo and behold, they came and practically giving it away, took care of a big problem that was desperately in need, which was trimming massive trees. And other people that just said, oh, you need that? Let's do that. And tell us a little bit. We only have about 5 minutes left, but you know, how has individuals who have seen this property grow and transform, how has it changed them personally?
Well, from the stories I hear, like a company that's called RCI is a very dedicated family. They lived right next to the property for years. This was their church at one point. They came back and redid lighting not only in our, all three of our buildings, but also on our property. RCI has, you know, I hear it all the time, how they just feel blessed to be able to give back. I look at companies like Paulson's Audio and Video, Lowe's, Home Depot, Gannett, they all hear from what we get to hear is how giving and making a difference is making a difference in their own lives. From that young man that you talked to who owns Tree Cut Tree Service, yes, he was a kid who grew up around this property, played on this property, and he is taking care of making sure that our property looks as best it can. He comes back anytime we have a tree that needs to be taken care of, or throughout the spring and summer, comes in and cleans up the property so that our buildings are safe and trees won't be affecting our roofs and things like that. This project that we're doing right now, this renovation, this $150,000 is probably doubled because of contractors who have come in and said, here's what we have to get to cover our costs and to keep it within your budget, but we also want to help you do things even better. So when people walk in, they may say, wow, this is an awful expensive looking place. No, it isn't, because others gave to make it a place where people can work, people can volunteer, and shoppers can feel really good about coming in. But all of these folks who walk onto our campus, the number one thing we hear all the time is how this makes a difference in their lives. And in the very first year and a half I was able to be here, I noticed the one thing. I often went home wondering, who's getting the most out of this? Is it the person who we fill their car up or who we let shop and take food home? Or is it the volunteer or the business or others who come onto the campus that help someone and give someone just a little bit of their time? And I can't really tell you which one gets the most. One drives away with or comes through and shops and walks away with family, with food for their family to feed themselves. The other feeds their heart and soul by being able to be here, to be able to give back. And I truly believe that both are lucky in many, many ways. But to be a part of this, to be a part of this campus, to be a part of the team, to be a part of our family here at CARES, and I don't like even calling our workers, our volunteers, our team, I feel that this is a family. And together as a family, mm-hmm. we are helping other families to be the best that they can be. And in turn, makes us the best that we can be. You know, life can throw a lot of things at you, and it has thrown a number of things at me from the time that I was born to this day here. But I could dwell on the bad things that might have happened, but I'd rather learn, live, and share in how life can have you wondering, why me? But boy, when you really look back at it, you can say, God, how blessed I was to be able to be a part of life itself. And I just think that there's a chance for us to really be a part of something that's as big as any family could want to be.
Right. And to recognize that, as you said, you know, we're all in this together. There, you know, any one of us can have something happen at any time in our lives. And it's that stepping forward when you have the time and the energy and perhaps the means to do something, and really let that be given from the heart, because someday along the line, it might not be you, but it might be someone that you love that is in need. And to have the ability to receive that without feeling bad or diminished in any way, but just knowing this is what human beings are meant to do, is to care for one another.
Absolutely.
And so I want to thank you for all that you do.
And thank you, and thank you for understanding how we all have to help each other. And that is the number one thing. It's not, don't ever be embarrassed when you have to reach out for help. Be glad that we can work together to each other's.
That's right. Again, my guest is Todd Lipa. He is the executive director of CARES in Farmington Hills. The website is www.caresfh, Frank, as F as in Frank, H as in Henry, .org. please take a look at what they're doing. If you can contribute, if you are aware of anyone in need, please reach out. And please make take every opportunity you have to be the best example of your life that you can possibly be. Thank you so much. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. It's up to us to make a difference. After all, humans are the only ones who can. Thank you.